You are listening to the Parkside Baptist Church podcast for Sunday evening, May 2nd. Dr. Mike Wells preaches a message entitled, Don't Cut the Lifeboats.
Take your Bible and go back, if you will, and we're going to talk about tonight on Don't Cut the Lifeboats. Don't cut the lifeboats off in your life. And, there's a danger that took place here that I think sometimes we'll just read through the passage and we don't really understand what was taking place that day. But look at it, Acts chapter 27 and verse 32. Acts chapter 27 and verse 32. The Bible says, and the soldiers cut off, it says, the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. Now, let me give you the story, if I can, and let's notice it verse by verse. Look at Acts chapter 27 and verse 4. Here's what we see. We see some words here that describes exactly what's taking place. The Bible says the winds were contrary. Look at verse 9, Acts chapter 27 and verse 9. The Bible says sailing was now dangerous. So the winds are contrary. Sailing is now dangerous. Look at verse 10. The Bible says that Paul is speaking here, and he says, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will bring, it says, watch what it says, this voyage will be, it says, with hurt and much damage. And so Paul is talking to them. Look at verse 14. The Bible talks about that which is a tempestuous wind. Look at verse 15. The Bible says that the ship was caught and could not bear up in the wind. Are you getting the idea that they're in trouble? Are you getting the idea that the winds around them is overtaking them and they just cannot make it by themselves? Look at verse 16. The Bible says that, of course, now they're running to a certain island here and much work, the Bible says, is says to come by the boat. So the boat's being actually torn apart in that which is the tempestuous wind. The Bible says in verse 17 that they had used helps. They undergirded the ship, fearing lest they should fall into quicksands. Now we understand this. They were in the middle of the sea. The storm hits them. The storm is now carrying them along. They're totally out of control. They're getting close to an island. That's where the quicksand is. And now fear begins to fill their heart because they're afraid that they might even actually be taken into that which is the quicksand. Acts chapter 27 and verse 18, the Bible says, being exceedingly tossed, it says, with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. Now why are they lightening the ship? They're lightening the ship because of the quicksand. If you're heavy, you're going to go into the quicksand more quickly. You're going to sink and you're going to die. So what are they doing? They're lightening the ship. The Bible says in verse 19, the third day they even cast out, it says with their own hands, the tackling of the ship. Now the tackling of the ship is that which they need for their daily survival. I mean, we're talking about that which is the nets. We're talking about that which is the hooks. We're talking about those things that they need for their daily survival. What are they doing? They're getting rid of all the tackling of the ship. The Bible says in verse 20, it says, and when neither, it says, sun nor stars and many days appeared. All right, so it's dark outside. Now think about this. The wind has got them. The wind is forcing them. The wind is tearing apart. The storm is tearing apart their ship. They're being pushed. They're heading towards that which is the shoreline. They know that around this particular shoreline that there's quicksand. So they're lightening the ship. They're taking off the very necessities of the ship. And it's been many days now. The Bible says 3 days had gone by. This is the third day. They had no sun. They had no star. Can you imagine? I mean, there's just pitch darkness for 3 days. The Bible says that we cast, it says, out with our own hands, the tacklings of the ship. Verse 20 again, the Bible says, when neither sun, it says, nor stars, and many days appeared, and no small tempest was upon us, and all hope that we should be saved was taken away. So now they've given up hope. They've given up hope. Now these are fishermen. These are experts at sea. But when experts at sea give up hope, I promise you, they're in great despair, all right? And so they're giving up all hope that that they would ever survive. Then all of a sudden, up steps Paul. Now, this is my favorite verse in this whole chapter. The Bible says in Acts chapter 27, and verse 22, the Bible says, now, he says, I exhort you, be of good cheer. He said, for there shall no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. And so understand, these are experts at sea. Understand, the tempestuous winds are hitting that which is the side of the boat. Understand, they're being carried away, not of their own accord. They're not able to guide that ship by their own power through that which is the temptations, the problems, and the disparity of life. And so now they're heading, they're being taken away, not the way that they want to go. They understand they're getting ready to hit the rocks. They understand that there's quicksand around that which is the island that the ship is being forcibly pushed towards. They lighten the ship. They take off all the tacklings of the ship. You understand these men are moving quick. You understand that fear, the Bible says, was filling their heart. Hadn't seen the sun or the stars in many days. We know at least three. And so what takes place? They're full of despair. They're full of darkness. They don't know what's going to happen. But there's somebody on the ship that's viewing it differently. There's somebody on the ship that's not looking at the darkness, not looking at the wind, not considering the quicksand, because he knows that somebody more powerful than the darkness and more powerful than the quicksand and more powerful than the wind is there and can help them through the problem they're facing in their life. So with that, here Paul steps up, and the Bible says that Paul steps in the midst of them. Now notice what takes place when he steps in the midst of them. The Bible says, I exhort you, verse 22, I exhort you, be of good cheer. Now can you imagine? I mean, here these guys are running to and fro on that which is the hem of the ship. They're throwing off everything they can. I mean, fear has filled their heart, and all of a sudden, a man of God steps up, and he says, look, cheer up. Cheer up. I mean, come on, if you're going to die, die happy. So he steps up in the middle and he says, look, he said, be of good cheer. And watch what he says. What's his reason for saying that? He says, for there shall no, it says, loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. Now, why did he say that? He said that because the Bible says that that night God visited him through an angel, and that angel told him, look, be of good cheer. You're going to make it to the place where you're supposed to go. Listen, do you understand tonight, if your place is heaven because you have been saved, then you ought to be of good cheer. There's no reason tonight for a child of God to get poochy lip disease. There's no reason tonight for you to sag your lip, sir, or sag your lip, ma'am, between your two big toes, and you keep tripping over everything in life. There's no reason tonight for you to give up. There's no reason tonight for you to throw in the towel. There's no reason. You're not supposed to look at the darkness, and you're not supposed to look at the storm, and you're not supposed to look at the problems. You're supposed to look at the one that is the calmer of the storm. You're supposed to look at the one that's the creator God of the universe, and he is the one that can help you to overcome every problem in your life. And Paul knew exactly what he was facing in his life. By the way, on the same ship, facing the same turmoil, going through the same problems, but had a different view. Now watch this. And so the ship is getting closer and closer. The Bible says, about midnight in verse 27, about midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near some country. So maybe they see the outskirts of that which is an island. Maybe because they were familiar with the terrain a little bit. Maybe because they knew the course that they were on, and they calculated how far the ship had been taken off that course, and they knew where this country was. But needless to say, they knew they were coming to a certain country. The Bible says they sounded. Now they got the depth runners. They sounded, and it was 20 furlongs. They sounded again when they went a little bit farther than 15 furlongs. And the Bible teaches here that they decided in verse 30 that they're going to let down that which is the anchor of the ship. It's getting off time. Now, that's what we try and do. When problems come our way, we look for a time that's a getting off time. We look for a way to get out. We look for a way to escape. All of a sudden, when we can't see what we're supposed to do in the future and darkness surrounds us, if we're not careful, we make mistakes. And we say, okay, I can't see the future. It's dark. And so I'm afraid and I jump off of the place that God told me to stay. Do we remember that God told that which was Paul, only the ship is going to be lost. All those that stay with you in the ship is going to be saved. If they just would have understood, you're supposed to stay put, sir, in the dark time. You're supposed to stay put, ma'am, in that which is the tumultuous times, all right? And so the dark time is there. That which is the tumultuous sea is coming against them. And Paul said in verse 31, and Paul said to the centurions and to the soldiers, except you abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. So it's not time to get off. Now, for some reason, and I don't know why, but for some reason, these same fellas that was going to get off of the ship, remember, they already let down the anchor or was about to. Remember, they were going to get in the boat. For some reason, these same guys that was afraid of the storm, afraid of the darkness, afraid of the quicksand, afraid of the tempestuous sea, for some reason, they do something, and Paul, stay with me, and Paul did not tell them to do this. Notice what happens in verse 32. The Bible says in Acts chapter 27 and verse 32, then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. How dumb. I mean, you might need that boat in the future. Do we understand that the ship was being torn apart? Do we understand that Paul said, stay with me in the ship, and that was the command for right then? But would you also understand that later on in this particular chapter, we understand that these same men are floating ashore on broken boards and pieces? You know, they could have decided at a certain time with Paul's blessing and Paul's command and being obedient to the man of God in their life, they could have decided later on just to get in that boat. But they decided, we're going to cut the boat. Isn't that something? Here's what we do. We say, here's the scenario. We get all the way out because we're afraid. Or we get all the way in, and getting all the way in, we don't think ahead. And so we destroy everything that's in the future. We swing from one pendulum to another. Example, here's a person that hears Bible preaching about a certain standard. They never heard that before. So they go from having no standard all the way over swinging to have more of a standard than what Bible says. They go from one pendulum all the way over past even where God says to another pendulum. And that's exactly what these men are doing. These men were not told to cut the boat. These men were not told to cut the rope. But here's what they did. They cut the very thing off that was going to salvage them. Let me give you three ropes tonight that we ought not to cut. Three boats tonight that we ought never to cut. Statement number one, the boat of authority. Never cut the boat of authority. You're always going to have somebody in your life that's going to help you. Example, the Bible talks about parents for that which is children. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6 verses 1, and listen to it. The Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Listen to it as it continues. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth. Listen to it. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8, the Bible says, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. And so here's what happens in the home. Daddy makes the rules and mama turns it in the law. By the way, that's the way it ought to be. So daddy says, this is the instructions in the home, the commands in the home, and he goes to work and mama makes sure that the law is enforced. Now, wait a minute, watch this, if you will. So the Bible says to that which is children, what ought you not to do? You ought not to cut the lifeboat of your parents. Don't cut the lifeboat of authority off in your life. You're going to need your mom and daddy. Don't forsake what they taught you. Don't forsake what they've experienced and tried to help you experience. Don't forsake the things in your life that you need. You ought to thank God tonight. God gave you a godly daddy. God gave you a godly mama. You ought to thank God tonight. God gave you somebody in your life. Don't walk away from your parents and stick up your nose. Don't walk away from your parents and stop them. Don't walk away from your parents and make fun of them behind their back. That's not the old man. That's not the old lady. That's your mama. That's your daddy. Thank God for your parents. Wait a minute tonight. You'll see tonight that there's the lifeboat of authority that comes in that which is the view of the parents. There's the lifeboat of authority in that which is the view of the pastor. Man, God gave you a pastor. Thank God for Dr. May years ago. Thank God all that he did. Thank God for that. God gave you a godly man of God. Thank God that God has brought us together. Thank God for that. Now, wait a minute. Here's what it says. The Bible says in Numbers chapter 27 and verse 17, the Bible says, which may, it says, go, it says, out before them. And it says, which may go, watch it, in before them, which may lead them out, which may bring them in. That the congregation of the Lord, it says, be not as sheep having no shepherd. So what's the pastor supposed to do? He's supposed to lead you in. He's supposed to lead you out. He's supposed to guide you in your life. Hey, that's a position that God ordained. Everybody needs a pastor. Come on. Look, if I were you tonight, I'd get plugged into a church. Why? Because if you don't, you're a sheep without a shepherd. You need a pastor in your life. Why? Because every sheep needs somebody to protect them. Every single person that's a sheep needs somebody that's going to love them. Don't give me this thing. Well, I tell you what, I watch the television pastor. Boy, I like so-and-so, and I like the way he smiles, and I like the way he motivates. Okay, but when you get sick and you call him, he's not going to come to you. And when you send your tithes and offerings to that local church that's there and not here, you don't know what they're using it for. There has to be a form of accountability. Now listen, and so every sheep needs a shepherd. Here's what it says. Listen to it. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 11, the Bible says, and he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. So what is the pastor supposed to do? He's supposed to feed the flock. He's supposed to teach them the things that will nourish them, help them, guide them. The Bible says, and he shall gather the lambs, listen to it, with his arm, and he shall carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead them, those that are, watch it, with young. So what is he supposed to do? He's supposed to lead the young. Even the young need a pastor. That's those that just got saved, and that's children. That's those that have a great maturity in their spirit and in their education and in their mind. And that's the simple that have none. God said that everybody needs that which is a shepherd. Hey, but here's what we do. Here's what we do. When all of a sudden your pastor gets up and he begins to rip on sin and he begins to shout and he begins to come down hard on you, if you're not careful, here's what you do. You cut the cord. You cut the rope. You're not supposed to cut the rope. God gave you some authority in your life. Don't cut the boat. Don't cut the boat. Don't cut the boat. There's going to be a day when you need your parents. There's going to be a day when you need your preacher. Statement number three. Think about this. Talking about peers tonight. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 24, the Bible says a man that have friends must show himself friendly. The Bible says there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 10, the Bible says, for better is the neighbor that is near than the brother far off. And so the Bible talks about there is peers and peers influence. Now stay with me. But if I was looking for a church tonight to raise my children in, I would watch the young people in the church. Thank you. Why is it that most churches, when they go to church, they dress down more than up? You know, normally the way you dress shows what respect you have. You go to a church, there's a bunch of teenagers walking around outside and their shirts are untucked. And the girls have got a bunch of short skirts on. Hello, thank you. Girls are walking around, they're walking around, they got tight britches on. Now, come on, let me tell you what's happening. I'm going to tell you what's happening. We have lost that which is our respect for the things of God. Come on. Wasn't too long ago when people come to church, they dress up. You know why? It was important. It was important. Now I'm saying peers does have an influence. Hey, when you go to a church to visit, where does most of the kids sit? Do they sit in the back or do they sit in the front? When you go to church and you visit that church, sir, let me ask you something. What are the kids like that's on the platform? Come on, judge it. Is it something you would want your child to be like? Hey, what's the music like in the church? Come on. Do they do the dish rag twist and the skunk skedaddle all over the platform? What do they do? What are they training the young people to do? Do they go soul winning? Hey, what's the boys' haircuts look like? What's the girls' look like? Are the girls sweet and kind and tender and submissive? Or are the parents and the pastor training them to be servants of God? What are the boys like? Do they shake your hand with a feminine touch? Do they shake your hand like a man? Do they treat you with dignity and respect? I'm saying, when you find a church where you've got some kids like Parkside Baptist Church that's trying to live for God, it's about time tonight you to stop playing around with that thing. Get yourself plugged in. You get in the church, God can help you. You get in the church, gonna preach the devil out of your kids. You get in the church that will help you to do what's right with your children. Don't cut the lifeboat. There's the lifeboat of authority, statement number one. Statement number two, there's the lifeboat of experiences. You know, it's good to be in a place where you have the right experiences. If they would not have obeyed their man of God, they would have been dead. Dead is a bad experience. Especially for these guys not yet saved. Now for Mrs. Smith to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You know what's going to happen on Tuesday? It's going to be a homegoing celebration time. Come on. You know why? Because she took her last step here and took her next step in heaven. No more pain. No more agony, no more laying there in a crippled body, wanting to hug your children but can't lift your finger to even touch them. She is in glory. Amen. Now, wait a minute. Did you know it is good to have the right type of experience? Don't cut the boat, sir. Don't cut the rope to the boat of experiences. Your children need to come soul winning for no other reason but for the experience. You need to get them in a red hot. Come on. Don't be afraid to get your kids in a church where the man of God loves them enough to preach it straight, hot, and heavy. Now, I'm going to tell you why. Because they need that experience in their life. And you need somebody to back you up. You need somebody that's going to help you that so your kids don't go home at night and say, "Dad, are you crazy? Where in the world did you get that from? You want us to do what?" But if you have a man of God that gets up there, come on, and that man of God says, "Hey, you're supposed to live for God. You're supposed to come to church. You're not supposed to touch the unclean thing." And all the men said, "Amen." Amen. That's going to be an influence that's going to give your child the right type of experience. That's why you ought not go to church just to play church. All right, wait a minute. Here's what we see. We see that which is the lifeboat of authority. Statement number two, there's the lifeboat of experiences. Statement number three, and I'm done. There's the lifeboat of godly preaching. The lifeboat. Look, there's only one time in the Bible where God talks about saving those that are saved. So how do you save those that are saved? It's not talking about getting double saved. No. The Bible says, "He that hath the Son hath everlasting life." But he's talking about the salvaging of a life. Look at it. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. The Bible says, "For the preaching of the cross." 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness." So when somebody gets up to preach, there's some people that are not saved or are living in deep sin that says, "That is foolish. Why do they believe that? They are narrow-minded." Well, did you know the closer you get to Jesus Christ, the more heavenly you ought to think and the less worldly you ought not to think? That's why the Bible says to set your affections on things above. That word affections means things that affect you. You ever see somebody with a new car? It affects them. They park it on the other end of the parking lot. They walk 3 miles to Walmart. You know why? Because that has affected them. Come on. Have you ever seen a girl with a frilly new dress? She doesn't want to sit down anywhere. She doesn't want anybody to touch her. It has affected her. Hello. Moving on. Says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. So God's teaching us that you ought to cut your teeth on preaching. You know why we have so many worldly churches across America? Let me tell you. Because we got a bunch of guys that get a little stool, and they sit on that stool, and they come together, and it's time for us to come together and to teach the word of God. We love you. God said preaching. By the way, you know what preaching is? Preaching is teaching set on fire. Come on. You know what that means? That means somebody gets to their pulpit and says, hey, open your Bible. Get your Bible open. I said, get that Bible open. It's preaching time. Are you listening to me? That's the way all churches used to be. And that's when great revivals were covering America. And we were not brought together by some type of social program. Look, I'm all for it, man. We had a family night. Some people may say, well, you know, at Parkside Baptist Church, you never have any fun. We had a family night, and man, it was great. We're playing volleyball with sheets. Men are getting coordinated together, and they're trying to throw the volleyball over the net with sheets. Man, we had a great time. We had men that was rowing those, what was those thing called? The hula hoop. Thank you. And rowing those hula hoops. A man rowing a hula hoop. That was fun within itself. Come on. Last night, the ladies came out. And when I say they came out, they came out. I never saw such stuff in all my life. Rebecca Combes, IWWE secretary, been typing for me for years. Couldn't even spell the name of a street. I'm saying, oh, come on. Mrs. Maldivius comes out, hair. I've never seen her hair that way before. I'm talking about electrical socket style. I mean, come on. It looked like she spent 3 days underneath the hairdresser salon thing. Like that. And she gets out there and she says things that's just uncommon to her. Man, when I think about her, I think, proper? I mean, I was here at the piano recital. I watched her. Dignity. And tonight we're going to have this other arrangement. Then last night, blacked in teeth, hair, poo, coming out, stomping. I'm thinking, dear Lord, what's happening? Is this where I came? And in my secretary here at church, Mrs. Cavanaugh, man, talk about being schizophrenic. 1 minute she's a young girl, the next holding a lollipop, singing a song. The next minute she's middle age, and in the very same hour she is old as can be. And all three of those times, different personalities. And I'm thinking, I showed up this morning. I said this morning. I walked in, got here about 7 or so, 7:30, walked in, and she came in shortly after that. And I said, whoa, whoa, whoa. Before we even talk, who are you? But what is that? Hey, that's fun. Did you know when you get plugged in, you can have a fun time in Jesus Christ? You don't have to go out and smoke, and you don't have to go out and dope, and you don't have to go out and get drunk, and you don't have to go out and get high on drugs, and you don't have to go out and ruin your life. Get your kids plugged in. You get plugged in. Why? You get in the right place, and God can help you to have fun. Listen to what it says here. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21. The Bible says that after it says that the wisdom of God, the world, watch it. It says the wisdom of God, the world wisdom knew not God. So here the world does not understand God. Come on. They walk in and say, what in the world is his problem? Man, he is up there and he is shouting and spit is flying out. That's called holy water. The Bible says that after that, in the wisdom of God, the world wisdom, it says, knew not God. And listen to what it says here. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them. Talking about saved people. This is written to the church of Corinth. And it says to save them that believe. You know, people that believe still need saving. You need to be saved from that which is a corruptible lifestyle. Need to be saved from that which is worldly temptations. Come on. Need to be saved from being drawn away by that which is the woes of the devil. Need to be saved from that which is the fiery darts of the wicked one. Need to be saved from that which is a vain worldly philosophy that will corrupt your mind, destroy your soul, and destroy your family. And God says it's by the foolishness of preaching. That's how come a church needs to be a church that's filled with preaching. Don't cut the lifeboat of authority. Don't cut the lifeboat of the right experiences. Don't cut the lifeboats of godly preaching.
Thank you for listening to the Parkside Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church, you can visit us online at pbcmesquite.org. And if you're ever in the Dallas, Texas area, we'd love to have you visit our church.